God is more than able. He's more than able. Anything is possible. Just let the waymaker through. Just let the waymaker through. Who am I to forget what God can do for us? Who am I to deny God what he can do? Man, God is so awesome. God is so great. This whole service from Sister Mary's prayer to that very last song is the message that the Lord has given me to share with the flock. Isaiah 42, verse 1 through 7. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto the earth, unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will uphold thine hand. I will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for coming to this earth, oh God, as Jesus, oh God, as man, oh God, as flesh, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord. The devil tried to stop you many times, oh God. Hallelujah, God. But you went forth, oh God, and you gave your life up for us, oh God. You gave your life up for us, oh God. For reasons that we can have a hope, oh God. A hope to look unto you, oh God. That no matter what situations we face, oh God, that we have your hope, oh God. Hallelujah, God. Just send your word through this place today, oh God. Let it touch the hearts and the minds, oh God, of those, oh God. And anyone under the sound of my voice, oh God. Let it change them, oh God. Let them not doubt you, oh God. Hallelujah, God. Use me as your vessel, oh God. And kill off this flesh, oh God. And we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. I take my main thought out of Isaiah 42, verses 3 and verses 7. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. Verse 7 is to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness of the prison house. Now, I didn't know what a reed was at first when I was reading this. I was like, what is a reed? Like, I was so confused of what a reed is. And it's actually something so basic, but actually it serves purposes. If I get the close-up picture, this is right at my job. I see these every day. I watch them die and come back again. And what it is, if you come pan out now, it's literally right there beneath it is a bank with rocks to catch rainwater. So it catches the rainwater. And then what the reason why they plant these here is because they actually suck out chemicals from the water. They actually suck out chemicals like zinc and like stuff that just ain't too good. That's why you're not supposed to literally just drink rainwater, because it actually has stuff in it that's not really good for us. Even though as kids we do it, you know, we eat the snow. You know? But yeah, that's what it is. It's all different types of reeds. This is one type, a type y'all may be familiar with. It's almost like a corn dog almost. They got like look like a hot dog growing on the end of it. That's a reed too. It's all different types of reed. And what the verse is saying is a bruised reed he will not break. You see how some of them are bent down. Some of them, they weather the storm and they've bent down. And generally, people will come break those off because they bent down, so they'll break them off. But you see, it's a whole army of them. It's a whole flock of them that they're standing up because they're on one accord. They're all together. They all have a purpose to serve. They know what their purpose is, and they're serving it. And it keeps them up, and it keeps them going. And even though it may be bent down, guess what? The plant is planted in the ground. The root is rooted. That's what's sucking out the chemicals from the rainwater. So it might be bent down. It might not have the prettiness on top, if you consider that pretty. I don't know, but I thought it was very pretty myself. But because I watched them die because they were doing construction at our job. So they tore down a whole bunch of stuff, and they were just tearing everything down left and right. And I watched them die, and I was like, man, I really liked it, those. But then they grew back. They made the building bigger, and they still left that space there. And I said, oh, great, because I park literally right in front of it usually, and I look at them every single day. And never really realized the magnificence of them and what they really serve. To some people, it may look like weeds. To some people, it may look like just a bunch of mess. You know, sometimes we look like a bunch of mess. But because of Jesus, he done washed us clean. So a bruised reed, he will not break, meaning Jesus will not break that reed off. He's still going to use it. He still will use it. He's still going to use it. He's still using it. He's not going to break it off. You got a little candle. It's, you know, it's, the light is out and you got your candle lit, and the candle ain't really, you know, giving off too much light, but it's giving off some light. You know, it's giving off some light. But we tend to want to blow it out and try to scrape off some wax and everything and then light it again to get a bigger light. But Jesus ain't going to blow that light out. He going to use that light for his glory. He going to use that light for his glory. The title of the message is, don't let your bruises make the choice. Don't let your bruises make the choice. And I'm mostly focusing on Paul here today. Paul, you know, he thought he was doing good for God, but he had to realize that he wasn't. So in doing so, he endured some bruises. And he actually endured more bruises when he was serving the Lord. But that did not stop him. That did not stop him from going on his mission, his journey, and to rescue people and to lead them. I'm sorry, y'all could be seated. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Oh, my apologies. I was going to have y'all saying the whole service, you know. Oh, I'm so sorry. But when he was going on his journey. You know, he wanted to go to Asia. He wanted to go to certain places, but the Holy Spirit forbade him to go. Meaning the Holy Spirit knew where he wanted him to go, but he wouldn't let him go to them places. And you know, when it's with God, it actually serves a greater purpose. Unlike last time I spoke, I talked about Jonah. God wanted him to go somewhere, but he left to try to go somewhere else that wasn't of God. And it was storms coming that he didn't even have to endure if he would have just listened to God. You see, so he was going on his journey, and God put him in certain places where to go. And then he came up, and he went to, I didn't put it in here technically, but he went to, he saw a vision of a man of Macedonia saying to come over to Macedonia. And then that's where he went there. He went there, they left Troas, and they went there. And when he got there, he went to the place where they were praying. And he came across a certain lady, Acts 16, verse 14 through 15. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us, meaning she had to press Paul. She had to urge Paul to come and stay with her. And it says she was a woman who was a seller of purple. So she had money. She was wealthy off. In the Roman Empire, if you selling purple cloth, that means you were dealing something that, you know, most people couldn't afford. But she knew she needed more. She knew the money wasn't what it all was. So she knew she needed more. And after Paul began to talk to her, that's when the Lord opened up her heart even further. And it says, and when she was baptized and her household. So she made sure she got baptized. Paul made sure she was baptized. More on that to come. So then Paul went with her, and then he was going on his journeys to spread the news of people. And this lady was following him. And she was basically mocking him, saying, here are the people of the Lord. And she just kept going, and she was mocking him. And she had to do it for several days. It wasn't like it was just a one-time thing. She had to do it for several days till Paul finally had enough. He finally had enough. And he commanded the spirit to come out of her right now, the name of Jesus. He tried to be peaceful. He tried. He was like, I'm just going to go do what I got to do. But it was for a purpose why he did that, that he probably didn't even know. I believe the Lord was already working on something why he did that. Because after he did that, that's when the people of the city, they got mad. Because that lady that was following that was saying that stuff was a moneymaker for them. She was a big moneymaker for them. So they were mad because now their money is gone. The spirit is gone. So now they ways of getting some money is gone. Sometimes that's why people get mad at us, because you got to cast out that spirit. And then their ways of getting money is gone. They get mad at us because the way we come to serve the Lord is that they can't use us no more how they feel like they want to use us and abuse us, because now we serving the Lord. You see, then they get mad, and then they start a whole bunch of stuff and say, you the funny acting one because you serving the Lord. And they can't use you the way that they would like to use you. And in doing so, you get bruises, because you might have actually valued that person. You thought that person was your friend. You thought that person was your family member. You thought that person was your coworker, and you valued that member, that person. And just because you chose to follow the Lord and try to get them to follow the Lord, now they don't want to associate with you no more. Or worse than that, they do want to associate with you. They just want to mess with you. They just want to mock you. But our God is not to be mocked. So in doing so, that's when the people got mad. Acts 16, 22 through 24. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Well, we know somebody else who took stripes for us. And by his stripes, we are healed. And you know, it probably took courage for Paul to even speak up, because it's not in here, but if you go back to Acts 14, Paul was basically stoned to death. They said they drugged him out the city because they just figured he was dead, because they stoned him to death. But he still was serving God, and he still spoke up for what is right, and didn't let them bruises make the choice of who he should serve and what he should do. Thank you, Jesus. So after the prison, they in the prison, the guard think they guarded securely, got him in the stocks. You ever seen like the wooden thing, you put your legs in and it locks it up and everything. So you think he locked up real good. But Acts 16, 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And the prisoners heard them. This is a part of the story that they kind of don't mention a lot on, but it's in there. You just got to see it. You got to understand it. Because so now Paul, he got stoned to death. Basically, he was stoned to death. They thought he was dead. Now he got whipped and everything just for telling the spirit to come out of somebody. and got thrown into jail. But we all know this story. He still sang praises. Him and Silas, they still sang praises. All the way until God caused an earthquake and a big shaking. And all the chains fell off. Every bond was broken. Every door was open. Every door was open. Every prisoner's chains were broke free. Yet the door and the doors were open. But when the guard came, he saw the doors open. Acts 16:27-28. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." He didn't say just me and Silas is here. He didn't say that. He said, "We are all here." And we have to assume, and I know assuming ain't necessarily good, but it had to be people in that prison that actually did stuff that quote unquote deserved to be in that prison. And when their chains broke and the doors opened, they got caught up so much in God's praises that they stayed there too. They stayed there too. That's what you can do when you want to bring somebody out of prison. Just stay in God's praises. Just stay in his praises and God will bring them out the prison. Isaiah 42:7 tells us that he will open the eyes of the blind and he will bring the prisoners out of the prison. But stay in the praise of God. Who are we to doubt what he can do? We let these bruises of life, of finances, of marital situations, of jobs, of automobiles, whatever it is, we let these situations get to us and it changes us. And sometimes it doesn't change us for the good. Because then we don't serve God. We come in and we leave. We could have been in here serving God. We make the decisions. We make the choices. All because of what something happened to us. But Paul didn't do that. And by doing that, all the prisoners were still there. And they could have left. Paul could have left. Paul been stoned to death. You name it. He been going through it. And the doors open. He could have. Oh, we out of here. Let's go. God freed us. We go. Because God did do that in a few occasions with Peter. But they stayed. But I think that's because God pressed it upon their heart. Because that jailer was about to commit suicide. That jailer was about to commit physical suicide. And Paul didn't want to commit spiritual suicide. And he wanted to help. And he didn't even realize what God had put him in that prison for. He wasn't even mad that he was in the prison. He was singing praises. Look, I went to that jail and I wasn't singing praises in jail. I was sitting there waiting for that call to see the judge so I get out of here. Bond me out. Let me go. I ain't got time for this. I was only there for 3 days, but nonetheless, I was there. And I didn't like not 1 minute of it. 1 minute of it. Bologna sandwiches and oranges. Bro, give me your orange. I don't want that bologna sandwich, bro. Like, I was not good with it. I would have been gone. I would have been gone. But I gotta be stronger in God. I gotta be stronger in God. Cause while I was in there, somebody asked for my food. It was dinner time. And I ain't even want to come out my room, my little pod, because I seen the judge and I knew I was getting out of there. I was just waiting for that call. So they did roll call. I got in trouble cause I didn't come out. I didn't stand in front of the door for them to count me. Cause I said, "Don't count me here cause I'm gone." That's what we got to do to the devil. Don't count me here. I'm gone. Don't count me here. I'm with Jesus. I'm serving Jesus. But then one of the people said, "Hey, bro, let me get your food." I said, "Oh, all right, bro, here I come." So I came out and got the food, and I had to endure the little talking from the little police like, "Oh, now you want to come out." "Yeah, I'm coming out to help my guy out right here. That's it." And then soon I got that call. I was gone. I was out of there. But Paul stayed there. And by doing so, a man was going to commit physical suicide because he thought he failed at his job. He was given one job, and that was to guard these people, Paul and Silas, very securely and don't let them be free. And he thought he failed at his job so much that he had nothing else to live for. A lot of people commit suicide because they feel like they have nothing else to live for. It's the various different reasons. It's bullying. It's all different types of reasons. And it's sad, but they do it because usually they feel like they're missing something or something happened that you know, something internally went wrong. I can't speak on it because I don't know for sure. But they do. I do believe that it's because they failed something. I've had suicidal thoughts before. When I was with my girlfriend back in the day, we got whatever, and I thought I wasn't good enough. I thought I wasn't worthy. So thoughts crossed my mind, but I never was bold enough to do it because I was like, I can't leave my mom behind. My brother was in the Navy. My dad was already gone, but I said, I can't leave my mom behind. I can't put her through that. She already been through enough. So I just wasn't bold enough to do it. And I think that's just because Jesus was always with me. He was always with me. I know he was always with me. And he wouldn't let me do no harm to myself. He wouldn't allow it. And in the little listenings that I did listen, I'm here today. And I'm doing God's work. And you know, people will tell you, because of your bruised situation, that you can't function normally. You come from an abusive home. I did. My father was abusive to my mom. Found out he had a brain tumor, so we don't know what really happened there. But I used to watch my dad beat my mom at times, and there was nothing I could do. There was nothing I could do. I got kicked out the house and all types of stuff back in the day. I got a book that I don't want read. But the point I'm telling you all this, because God would use you. He wants to free you from that prison. Don't let nobody tell you that you're not valuable for what you've been through. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't function with Christ. Because there's literally studies out here where they tell you this. If you come from certain situations, some certain backgrounds, that you can't function normally. But that's a lie. That's from Satan himself. But God say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Let me get back to the message. Well, I'm in the message, but let me get back to the part I was at. So after he told the guard, we all here. The guard ran in there and fell on his knees and brought a light. He asked, what must I do to be saved? Because he knew the only reason y'all are still here got to be from a higher power. So he already knew you cast out a demon. He already knew all that. You know what I'm saying? So he said, what must I do to be saved? And then he took Paul and Silas and he washed their stripes. He washed their stripes. And after that, he was baptized. He was baptized in the name of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, Paul says that he wasn't necessarily called to baptize. Can I get that on the screen so I can read it accurately? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, some people read this and they say, well, see, Christ didn't send them to baptize. But to only preach the gospel. But if you read it, and if you read what Paul be doing, every time he get done talking to somebody, the first thing he do is baptize them and their whole family. And their whole family. It don't be just them getting baptized. It be the whole family. When he was talking to the woman Lydia, she got baptized and the whole family got baptized when she urged him to come over to the house. The jailer got baptized and his whole family got baptized. What he's saying is he wasn't sent to baptize. John the Baptist's calling was to make the way for Jesus and to baptize. Well, I cut the grass, but my calling ain't to cut the grass, but I know it has to be done or it's going to grow out of control. That's what he's saying. He's saying he wasn't sent to specifically baptize, but his gift was to preach the word. But it didn't stop him from doing what was supposed to be done. So now after he did that, and now the higher ups, they mad now. They like, just get out of my town. Just go. Just leave. I had enough of you. You casting out demons. You saving people over here. You got to go. You know, but Paul stood on it. Paul stood on it. He said, no. He said, y'all beat me in public. Let me out in public. Don't let me out in private. Let me out in public. But he didn't do that for him. He did that for the glory of God. And what he also did it for, because he just was talking to Lydia earlier on. He just baptized her and the whole family. But now she's seeing him getting stoned and thrown into prison. You know, a lot of times we be ministering to people, and then they see bad stuff happen to us. Some is our doing, but some ain't even our doing. Some is just the enemy just messing with us. But then they lose something inside of them, especially new ones. They lose it inside of them because they like, hold on, wait a minute. He talk about how good Jesus is, but he going, oh, no, that ain't, I'm back over here doing this. And they forget just off of that how good Jesus is. And they want to give up on him and not continue to pursue him. That's why I believe Paul said, no, you let me out publicly so the people can see what God has done. Because if Paul would have left privately, they would have been asking, where Paul and Silas go? What happened? They just up and dipped on us? What's going on here? Hold on, man. They tell us how good Jesus is. Now they just left. That's like you in a relationship and you tell somebody you love them and then you never call them again. And then the person sitting over like, well, he said he loved me, but he didn't call me. I guess he didn't love me. And then they confused and they going through all these thoughts. That's what she was probably going through at the time. Because she probably was like, Jesus is so good. He loves me. Sent these people over here. They talking to me about how good he is. But then they just up and left without even saying bye. How many times you got mad because somebody just left without even saying bye? And the first thing you say is, hey, he couldn't even say bye. It's like that. And you call him up sometimes like, bro, you couldn't even say bye. Where you go? But Paul, after they let him out publicly, Acts 16:40. And they went out of the prison and they entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and then they departed. He made sure to go back and comfort her and let her know this is all the plan of God. And you might not have seen the plan. You might have saw me in prison, but it was the plan of God, because I saved this, not me personally, but I attribute to saving this jailer that was going to take his life because he thought he wasn't good enough. He thought he failed at his one job. But he didn't know Jesus had new assignments for him. And Jesus got new assignments for each and every one of you. Each and every one of you. Don't let your bruises make the choice of whom to serve and which way to go and what to do. Acts 5:29 was Peter was going through a situation. He was thrown into jail in Acts 4. Then he gets thrown in jail again in Acts 5. Then Acts 5:29 says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Because they had just told him, like, hey, don't go over here preaching about Jesus no more. Don't go up here preaching about Jesus no more. But the angel of the Lord came and got him out and closed the door. The enemy didn't even know he was gone at that time. The enemy don't need to know you're gone. He gonna find out. The enemy didn't even know they was gone. They came looking for him. And the people was like, oh, they in the courts. They ain't preaching about Jesus over there. They got heated. They said, no. And that's when they called him back over there. And that's when Peter said that, well, I'd rather obey God rather than men. You know, a lot of times people go to prison and they get out and do the exact same things they went to prison for. See, that's not good. In them situations, that's not good. The point of prison is to supposedly reform you and make you new and realize the error of your ways. But Jesus will make you realize the error of your ways. And he will obey. You rather have you obey God rather than men. So then they got mad because then Peter go on to tell them. He said, hey, y'all the ones who put Jesus on the cross. Y'all, his blood is upon y'all. So now they got really, really mad. Really mad. It was facts. A lot of people get mad when you spit facts. Yeah, they don't like them facts. They can twist and turn your opinions, but they can't twist facts. And they get mad about them facts. So they got mad. And they was going to have Peter and them killed. But God is God. But God is God. And there was another person, I forgot his name because I didn't put it in here. It was so much. That's what I was telling Brother Chris earlier. I was just like, what do I put in? What do I not put in? And I apologize. But I'm going to tell you it anyways. It was a man. He was loved by the people. He was respected by the people. He was a studier of Moses' law. It's in Acts chapter 5. Go read it. Go read it. Pastor, we challenge you with something. I'm going to give you homework. Go read Acts chapter 5. Okay. And he stood up and he said, hold on, no, I don't think you want to kill these men. Because this person done rose up and it didn't work out for them. This person done rose up and it didn't work out for them. So I don't think you want to kill these men. You might want to leave them alone. Because them people's a God. Dog. You might want to leave them alone. But so they couldn't just leave well enough alone. They did take them outside and beat them, but they lived to tell another day. And they didn't let them bruises stop them. They didn't let the bruises of life stop them from telling people how good God is and how from keeping God inside of them. Because Matthew 5, verse 15 through 16 says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all the men that are in the house. Well, to all that are in the house, not just men. 16 says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, a lot of times we get these bruises and we hide our light. We hide it. We hide it. Oh, forgive us, Lord. We hide it because then we think we ain't good enough and we just hide it. And we say, God can't use us. I didn't went and did this. God can't use me because I went and did that. God can't use me because of what happened in my life. But we taking it out of God's hands. Who am I to doubt what God can do? So we can't hide our light. We can't put it under the bushel, no matter what happened to us, because the bruise is healed. The bruise is healed. They heal. And they heal because of Romans 8:24. Romans 8:24. We hope on things that are unseen, because how can we hope on things that are seen? If I see it, how can I hope for it? I see it. It is, and when I look around this world, I see stuff that's not very hopeful. But we are saved by hope. But that is seeing is not hope. For what a man seeth, then why do he yet hope for it? Why do we hope for it? Because we got this light inside of us. That's why we hope for it. We got this light that want to burn bright inside of us. Isaiah 42:3 said he won't put it out. No matter how little it is, he won't put it out. He only wants to make it burn brighter. But we let our bruises hinder that. And we can't do that. We can't do that. I'm wrapping up here. I'm wrapping up. And the reason why, to bring it all home, Matthew 27-29. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They placed a reed in his right hand. They didn't even know what they were doing. But they placed us in his right hand. Because a lot of times there's different verses in the Bible that'll talk about a reed, and it'll be talking about us humans because we frail and fragile.
And literally,
they put a reed in his hand to mock him. But they didn't know they were putting us in his hand. In his hand. So he could take us and save us. So he could take us and save us. The verse go on to say, then they took two reeds and they put it together. And they put a vinegar like soaked sponge on it. And lifted it up for him to drink. Again, mocking him because they gave him sour vinegar. But the point that stood out to me was they took two reeds and they put it together to make it longer because the one wasn't long enough. But they put two together and they gave him something to drink. Do you know we're all a body of Christ and we come put together and get off of our own agendas and our own purposes, but be on Christ's purpose and his agenda and put us together. We can reach out and give people to drink the water from the well that won't run dry. The good water, the holy water. If we just get put together, we can reach. Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin. But among the righteous, there is favor. Among the righteous, there is favor. Don't forget that you're righteous and you have favor. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it. Touch your heart and say, I'm blessed and highly favored. There is favor. The fools are going to mock. They're going to mock. We're getting closer and closer and closer to his coming. But we have to hold on to the fact that there is righteous in his favor. Psalms 18:28-30. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. And by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. The word of the Lord is tried and they still trying it. But he's a shield, a buckler to all those that trust in him. David was going through a lot of bruises. Saul was trying to kill him. But when he got out of that, he knew who to thank. He knew it was all God who made him leap over a wall. Who through his bruises, God still made clean. Hallelujah, Lord. Closing with the last verses, 1 Corinthians 3:21-23. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Heavenly Father is so awesome. Isn't he awesome? Isn't he awesome? No matter what we face, no matter what we going on, life, death, no matter what it is, it's Christ. And we need to put our full trust in him. And don't let our bruises make the choice to stop following him. Don't let things we see, the bruises we entail, to stop following him. Because he wants to heal them bruises. He wants to remove them bruises because he himself was bruised for us. He was bruised for us. And we just thank him for that. We thank him for that because he didn't have to do that. He could have just destroyed the world again and just said, forget it, I'm done. But he didn't. He didn't. He was bruised for us. And in knowing that we got it, the bruises that we take on this world, we can't let us hinder it from him. And choose stop to following him. Because now is not the time for it. Now is not the time for it. Now is not the time for it. You know, we need to be awake in Jesus. Because his coming is even closer than we could ever imagine. We are on the cusp. I guarantee it. We are on the cusp. I don't know how long we have, but it's a very short time. A very short time. And the devil will try to bruise you, but we could crush his head because of Jesus. Because God is that good. These altars are open. These altars are open. If you have bruises in your life that you want healed, that you want removed, these altars are open. If you have situations that you've been through that say you can't do it, Jesus will tell you that you can, and he has something for you. He has something for you, and he wants to heal you. No matter what you're facing, he wants to fill you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, oh Lord. We thank you for it all, oh God. We thank you for it all, oh God. You said, think it not strange, oh God, for these fiery darts, oh God. Hallelujah, God. It says that we may endure tribulations to get into the kingdom of heaven, oh God. Jesus, we just praise your holy name, oh God. We ask that you move in this place, oh God. That you touch souls, oh God. You touch hearts, oh God. That their soul is yours, oh God. It's to be kept for you, oh God. Let them not be discouraged, oh God, for what things happen in this world, oh God. Let them not be troubled, oh God, for you give a peace, oh God, that no other person can give, oh God, but your peace, oh God. You will keep us in perfect peace, oh God. Help us, oh Lord, continue to follow you, oh God. Continue to honor you, oh God. Continue to let this light shine, oh God, that it drives out darkness, oh God. Let us not hide this light of yours, oh God. But let us look unto the hills from whence come our help, oh God. Hallelujah, God. We just praise you, oh God. And we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name.